Mr. Owner, you have recently purchased an Aeolian Vocalion of which you are justly proud, and a few hints will assist you to obtain the best results. Important. Stop winding the motor immediately resistance is felt. Your Vocalion embodies exclusive features. First, the automatic stop, which relieves you of necessity of rushing to your instrument immediately a record is finished. To set this automatic stop, bring the tone arm as far as it will go towards the center spindle. Place the needle either in the last or last but one groove on the record and press the trigger on the left-hand side of the turntable. Then lift the tone arm and bring it to the extreme right. And should you have a friend who is thinking of purchasing a phonograph, we feel sure you will ask him to hear yours and that your Vocalion will be the means of selling another one.
The name derives from Aeolus, the mythical ancestor of the Aeolians and the son of Helen. In Greek mythology, Aeolus was the ruler of the winds when he was encountered by Odysseus in Homer's Odyssey. To ensure safe passage home for Odysseus and his men, Aeolus gave Odysseus a bag containing all of the winds, except the gentle west wind. And we know how that turned out. The Aeolian Company was a musical instrument-making firm whose products included player organs, pianos, sheet music, records, and phonographs. Founded in 1887, it was at one point the world's largest such firm. Welcome to Dead Wax 78s. I'm your host, Sean, and, this is the podcast where we talk about all that old-timey music stuff. Today, Aeolian. The firm established in 1878 in New York by William B. Tremaine, originally known as the Mechanical Orgumet Company. The factory was initially located in Meriden, Connecticut, and Tremaine had previously founded the Mechanical Orgumet Company to manufacture automated reed organs. The manufacture of residence or chamber organs to provide entertainment in the mansions of millionaires was an extremely profitable undertaking. The Aeolian virtually cornered the market in this trade, freeing them from the tight competition of church organs buildings with such a narrow profit margin. Elaborate cases and consoles were often featured in resident organs. In other installations, the pipes were hidden behind tapestries or under or above staircases, or poked right from the basement through the grills or the tone chutes. The company also made organettes and player pump organs for the working man to buy. From this company, there developed the Orchestral Company of Westfield, New Jersey, also headed by Tremaine, and then the Aeolian Organ and Music Company in New York, 1888. The company advertised itself at one time as the largest manufacturer of musical instruments in the world. Enter the Bag of Wind. The pianola, a pneumatic player piano, soon after became extremely popular. It was invented in 1895 by Edwin S. Voti, president of the Ferrand and Voti Organ Company in Detroit. In 1897, Voti joined Aeolian, and in 1900, the firm obtained the patent for such instruments. In 1899, Aeolian took over the property and business of the Vocalion Company of Worcester, Massachusetts, and ran it together with the Meriden plant. Here's side one. At the Jazz Band Ball, original Dixie Jazz Band, Aeolian, 1917. In 1904, Aeolian sued the Los Angeles Art Organ Company for patent infringement of its player mechanism, leading to court victories that, with other factors, effectively shut down the competitor. Other patent lawsuits were not always successful. I could probably make a whole podcast that covered just court cases in the early phonograph history. As the pianola, in its turn, was supplanted by the newer Aeolian Duo Art reproducing piano in 1913, which could reproduce the sounds of famous artists playing without manual intervention, the Aeolian Weber Piano and Pianola Company became the world's leading manufacturer of such roll-operated instruments. And in 1915, the Aeolian Company started making Vocalion phonographs. And in 1917-18, they started Vocalion Records, a maker of high-quality discs, which in December 1924 was sold to Brunswick Records. The phonograph was one of the main factors in the demise of player piano. Although Starr made players and records, as well as pianos, an attempt of the company to engage the production of church and concert organs resulted in important installations at Duke University Chapel and Longwood Gardens. It was undermined by the Great Depression, during which the organ division was merged with the E.M. Skinner Organ Company to become Aeolian Skinner Organ Company, a leading builder until the 1970s. Here's side two. Don't Take Away Those Blues, Ernest Hare on Aeolian Vocalion.
Oh. I must admit that I'm a jazz for every single place that I go. They play the jazz, the jazz of a fantasy, drive my troubles away. But now that we have prohibition, I got a crazy superstition. Now that it's dry, they're gonna try to take away those blues someday. I'm right down on my knees. Just listen to me, please. Oh, don't take away those blues. Don't take away those blues. Oh, that life hold for me is just a raggy melody. But if those blues must go, then you can lay me low. You can take away my gin, take away my blues, take away my hackneys, and take away my shoes. But Lordy, Lordy, Mr. Man, don't take away those blues. Sometimes I wonder if I'm going a little crazy from that Boeing. When I'm asleep, I just can't keep that funny music out of my head. There's something mighty queer about it. Somehow I can't exist without it. It's got me sure I can't endure to live below those ragged blues. I love my jazz, I vow. Don't take it from me now. Don't take away those blues. But calm the music has to listen to the love and jazz. Don't take away those blues. They got a sign of pain. Music got to keep the pain. All that life holds for me. When I am on the hummer, D, I love the jazz. The drummer is yours. A raggy melody. Don't stop, stop, the jazz, stop, the melody. No blues must go into the dark of living. Well, they ain't the use of living. Then you can lay me low. You can take away my gal over if you take away my luck, I don't care for them. But Lordy, Mr. Man, don't take away no blues.
A gramophone was produced in 1912 under the name Aeolian Vocalion. It played both vertical cut and lateral cut discs. It had a tone control system called the Graduola, invented by an Australian, F.J. Epsom. Discs were made as well from 1918 under several names: Aeolian, Aeolian Vocalion, Broadcast, and ACO Echo. Aeolian Hall, located at 29 West 42nd Street in New York, was a famous concert hall and a venue of the premiere by Paul Whiteman of The Rhapsody in Blue. On February 12, 1924, there were factories in Worcester, Massachusetts, Meriden, Connecticut, New York City, and Garwood, New Jersey. In 1932, a merger with American Piano Company resulted in the Aeolian American Corporation. This became the Aeolian Corp in 1964. Now, the Aeolian Vocalion label, this was the name given to the Aeolian Company to its vertical cut discs, first announced in the U.S. in May 1918 and in the U.K. in December 1920. Aeolian was dropped from the title in 1920 and Vocalion was sold to Brunswick in 1924. After March 1920, all production was lateral cut because Aeolian entered late into the disc field. The firm had difficulty signing classical artists and produced much dance music and popular instrumental items. There were many series identified by a brown, pink, red, green, or even red disc labels. Here's side three, Dreaming Blues, at Joe Thomas, Saxotet, 1920, Aeolian Vocalion. ¶¶ It was congressional suspicion of the market power of the Aeolian Company during its early 20th century that prompted adoption of the first compulsory license system in the U.S. copyright law for the mechanical reproduction of musical compositions, a category that included piano rolls. The player piano deeply troubled popular music composers such as John Philip Sousa. Sousa worried that the piano would kill the public's demand for sheet music. And sheet music was the source of composers' copyright royalties. To make matters worse, the player piano companies refused to pay royalties to composers for the songs that they put on player piano rolls. The rolls were scrolls of paper with holes punched out in patterns that instructed the piano how to play a particular song. The rolls argued the player piano companies did not copy the composer's musical composition. As a result, they were perfectly legal. The Supreme Court, in its 1908 opinion in White Smith Music Publishing Company versus Apollo Company, sided with the player piano companies. The court held that because humans could not read player piano rolls, they were not, in fact, copies of musical compositions they encoded. The result in White Smith lasted but a year before congressional action. The Copyright Act of 1909 mandated that all musical compositions would be subject to compulsory license. In short, since 1909, the copyright law was allowed musicians to copy other songs by mechanical means, like via piano roll or phonorecord or sound recording, without the permission, as long as they paid a specified fee to the original songwriter. Here's side four. Ohio, Aileen Stanley, the Gramophone Girl, 1921, Aeolian Vocalion.
He's been raving and behaving just like a clown. Every time he gets in a crowd, he just yells out loud. Now, buddy, Ohio, I've got the sweetest little Ohio. I'm going right back there to meet her, and then, oh, hear me when I put my arms around her and kiss her again. Down by the Ohio, she's just a simple little country girl I know. So far she's only raised a hen and a cow, but she'll be raising something different from now. After we're, oh my, oh, just wait till I get back to Ohio. She's just right for me, suits me to a tea. Great for cooking, not bad looking, you will agree. Since I met her, life is so sweet. Folks, I must see me. Down by the Ohio, I've got the sweetest little Ohio. She doesn't dress as up to date as she might. Her clothes are a sight, but when she's in the moonlight, I think she's all right. How she can, oh my, oh, she's just a simple little country girl I know. Some fellows think that country girls are so slow, but if they knew one half the things that I know, they'd take the piano and they'd be heading straight for Ohio. I'm going right back there to meet her, and then just to hear me when I put my arms around her and kiss her again. She loves the flowers and the bees and the birds. She isn't naughty, but she knows all the words, and she can, oh my, oh, just wait till I get back to Ohio.
Anticipating that Congress was about to overturn White Smith, Aeolian Company moved swiftly to buy up song rights from musicians and publishing companies so it could copy them onto player piano rolls. Aeolian's competitors quickly complained to Congress about Aeolian's attempt to corner the music market. Congress responded with the invention of the cover song rule. United States musicians have had the right to record a version of someone else's previously recorded and released tune, whether it is music alone or music with lyrics. A license can be negotiated between representatives of the interested artist and the copyright holder. Or recording published tunes can fall under mechanical license, whereby the recording artists pay a standard royalty to the original author, copyright holder, through an organization. And in the famous words of Paul Harvey, that's the rest of the story. Thank you for listening. I'm Sean, this is Dead Wax 78, and you know what? I'll catch you on the flip side. I certainly hope that's not copyrighted, but we'll find out.